The news from QNN is next.
This is the Quality News Network. The Washington Post reports the Pentagon has laid out three options for the war in Iraq following a secret review commissioned by the Joint Chiefs of Staff. The first option is to put more troops into Iraq. The second is to reduce the size of the U.S. force but stay longer in Iraq. And the third is to pull out of the country entirely. These can be simplified as, quote, go big, go long, or go home. Senators are split on the possible military options in Iraq. Yesterday, Arizona Republican John McCain said he supports more troops. However, Michigan Democrat Carl Levin wants the troop withdrawal from Iraq to begin in 4 to 6 months. President Bush said today he hasn't decided whether he will send more troops to Iraq or reduce the size of the force. He wrapped up his week-long trip to Asia with a six-hour stop in Indonesia, where he was greeted by thousands of protesters. Former Secretary of State Henry Kissinger said in a British television interview Sunday that military victory in the war in Iraq is no longer possible. He also said the United States must enter into talks with Iraq's neighbors, including Iran. The Associated Press reports that Iran has invited the Iraqi and Syrian presidents for a weekend summit next week. They're expected to discuss how to stop the spiraling sectarian violence in Iraq. And in Iraq, that violence has claimed the lives of 48 Iraqis today, including a popular television comedian and a college professor. The Iraqi death toll so far in November is at least 1,370, according to the Associated Press count. A human rights group released a 97-page report that said the verdict in Saddam Hussein's first trial is, quote, questionable. Human Rights Watch states that the trial was not carried out fairly and the Iraqi court was not capable of handling the complex case properly. A school bus accident in Huntsville, Alabama today has killed two teenage girls. 30 students were injured when the bus reportedly plunged headfirst more than 30 feet off an interstate. In eastern India, a blast Monday evening on a passenger train killed at least 8 people. About 60 others were hurt. The U.S. Coast Guard reports it seized a homemade submarine off the coast of Costa Rica. The sub, which was made of wood and fiberglass, was carrying 3.5 tons of cocaine on its way to the U.S. from Colombia. 4 people were arrested yesterday. And a former Russian spy who has been critical of Moscow remains hospitalized in London after being allegedly poisoned during a meal at a sushi restaurant. You're listening to the Quality News Network.
Most people would rather have a root canal than go to a dealer to buy a car. But you can turn dread into joy when you learn how to play the car buying game. Read the book, Right Car, Right Price, and you'll discover how the game is played and how you can win every time. Whether you're buying a car or a truck, new or used, Right Car, Right Price explains how to find and buy the vehicle best suited to your individual transportation needs. Auto Week called Right Car, Right Price, the right stuff. So take the hassle out of car buying. Read Right Car, Right Price, and every time you get into your new car, you'll know you've got a great deal. Go online to rightcarrightprice.com to order your copy today. It only takes an hour to read Right Car, Right Price, and it just costs $10. We even pay the postage. So go to rightcarrightprice.com right now. It'll be one of the best decisions you ever make.
The U.S. government has removed a huge obstacle to the creation of computerized health records for all Americans by allowing hospitals to share their networks and software so that private physicians can add their patients' records to hospital databases. The U.S. and Russia signed a bilateral deal yesterday that removed the final obstacle to Russia's 13-year quest to join the World Trade Organization. Yahoo is forming a partnership with 176 daily newspapers to share content, advertising, and technology. The first part of the deal will include the posting of classified employment ads online. The second largest bank in the U.S., Bank of America, will buy U.S. Trust Corp., the Charles Schwab Corporation's private banking unit, for $3.3 billion. It will create the largest private banking business in the U.S. The U.S. Mint will launch newly designed $1 coins next year. The gold coins will have different presidents appearing every 3 months. The public will have the chance to decide which design they like best. When the chief executive of KB Home stepped down last week because of a stock option controversy. He agreed to give up the amount of the disputed gains, $13 million. However, since he retired as opposed to being fired, he will still get $175 million in benefits. Light sweet crude is trading at $58.91 a barrel, and near the close of Wall Street today, the Dow is down 25 points, NASDAQ up 7, and the S&P 500 flat. There's always more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Ali Dramov.
This is a top to, you know, what we use on stage, but it's very, very special because if you can see,
yeah,
the numbers all go to 11. Look, right across the board, 11,
right.
11,
and most of
11,
these
and then
amps go up to 10.
Exactly.
Does that mean it's louder? Is it any louder?
Well, it's one louder, isn't it? It's not 10. You see, most blokes, you know, be playing at 10. You're on 10 here, all the way up, all the way up,
yeah,
all the way up. You're on 10 on your guitar. Where can you go from there? Where?
I don't know.
Nowhere, exactly. What we do is if we need that extra push over the cliff, you know what we do?
Put it up to 11.
11, exactly. One louder.
Why don't you just make 10 louder and make 10 be the top number and make that a little louder?
These go to 11.
Welcome to Conversation Radio's Night Shift, where the children of the night fight the radical right. It's Foxed Up with John Fox. Foxed Up is brought to you by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. They're building the American dream every day. Be one louder by calling 877, the number 4, head on. That's 877-443-2366. And now, your host, the ranting, headbanging hippie, John Fox.
All right, everybody, welcome aboard Foxed Up for a Monday afternoon, or Tuesday morning if you're on my side of the planet, coming to you live from Sydney, Australia on the Head On Radio Network. Boy, what a weekend here in Australia. I'm going to do a little wrap-up on the G20 summit and some of the, shall we say, excitement that took place, especially on Saturday. There was a bit of... well, shall we say, violence? And I'm not necessarily, well, surprised. The G20, as you all may or may not know, is the group of, you know, central bankers and financial leaders from the from the 19 most wealthy nations. And all I can say is that this was one of the biggest missed opportunities in a long time. I'm going to talk about Bono from U2 being down here and some other things. But before we get there, today for us, tomorrow for a lot of you, will be Voltaire's birthday. So we're going to have a few Voltaire quotes throughout the day, and I happen to really like this one. So the first Voltaire quote of the day is, "No snowflake in an avalanche ever feels responsible." I love that. I mean, this. We'll have a few more of those as we go along today. Well, let's first go to what happened on Saturday. At the end of the show on last week on Thursday, I mentioned that they were expecting a minimum of, 5,000 protesters down in Melbourne, and Melbourne had been cordoned off. I mean, the main shopping districts were shut off. If you were a regular citizen, the working class, you weren't allowed to get near the hotel where it was being staged. And this was one of the most media-controlled gatherings of this group probably ever. The press was only allowed in for certain photo ops. None of the discussions were allowed to be monitored. And it's been an interesting, well, week and weekend. So, from the, where are we? Oh, the Sydney Morning Herald, of course. I'm going to have to choose my commentary words carefully after I read into this. But anyway, mass protesters hurled bottles, rocks, and metal objects in violent clashes with police in central Melbourne on Saturday as the G20 held talks in a city hotel. Protesters overturned barriers and smashed vehicles in street battles around the Grand Hyatt Hotel, where the summit was being attended by finance ministers and central bank governors from the world's richest 19 countries and the European Union. Between 2,000 and 3,000 people from a range of anti-capitalist, anti-war, environmentalist, Aboriginal, socialist, student, and Christian organizations marched on the hotel from a rally at the State Library. Several dozen protesters dressed in white jumpsuits with scarves over their faces led the crowd to Collins Street, where they began throwing items at police. Victoria's Chief Commissioner Christian Nixon said the group in white were believed to have come from interstate and Europe. You know, of course, the Australians wouldn't be getting up to this nonsense. We think there were 70 to 100. They wore white and had masks, and they come. They were part of a protest group who came here intending to be violent, and that certainly was the case. Police adopted new measures for the protest following recommendations made in a report on their tactics outside the World Economic Forum in Melbourne in 2000, which was marred by violence. Now, here's where I have to be very careful, and I had a telephone conversation with my very good friend, journalist and author, Mr. Anthony Lowenstein, and he took a little bit of issue with me on my opinions on this, because as far as I'm concerned, no one should be surprised. I'm not surprised at all. You know, there's been a whole lot of verbal clashes between the Australian Treasurer Peter Costello and his brother Tim. His brother Tim is a Baptist minister who leads runs Australia's largest humanitarian organization, and also fronts the Australian arm of Make Poverty History, and he's basically been tit for tat in the media with his brother for the last week, stating that his brother needed to make poverty a number one issue at this summit. And, you know, I have to give credit where credit's due, because Tim Costello just really, really was out to make his point that Australia is being cheap. Now, out of the 19 richest nations, Australia comes in 18th in support for the poorest among us on this planet. And his brother Peter continues to try and spin it, saying, well, we've upped our aid by 81% in the last couple of years. But you know what? We still are pushing being the wooden spoon. And the wooden spoon is an Australian term in sport for when you've come in last at the end of the season, because, well, it used to be tradition that if you came in last in your league, whether it was footy, whether it was, you know, soccer or whatever, there was a bit of a spoon paddling that would have to go on if you came in last. And I think in the media and by the Australian people, we've had, you know, we deserve a beating. So we're already coming up on our first break here, and I'll get a little bit more into this. I'll get into the fact that Costello finally met with Bono. Yes, it does sound kinky, Agnes. I do agree. But the Australians are kind of kinky that way, you know. The footy players here on television are constantly dressing up in drag. But that's all in good fun. So we're going to take our first break here today on Foxed Up as we wrap up the G20 summit. We've got our track of the day. It's not environmental, but it's something for those who went down and made a stand in Melbourne this weekend. And we'll get there in the next segment. So stick around. There's plenty to stuff into this little hour that we have each and every weekday. So we'll be back in a few minutes here on the Head On Radio Network.
Sex and drugs and rock and roll is all my brain and body need. Sex and drugs and rock and roll. It's very good indeed. Keep your silly ways.
The Head On Radio Network is brought to you every night by the Carpenters and Millwrights. The Mid-Atlantic Regional Council of Carpenters is a portion of the United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Joiners of America, or more commonly called the Carpenters Union. The Millwrights are a very specialized craft that perform their work with highly sensitive equipment and perform much of their work on machinery like turbines, laser alignment, and other highly specialized tools. We would like to thank the Carpenters and Millwrights for their support, because freedom of speech is free. And it's brought to you by the Carpenters and Millwrights, working hard every day to provide a brighter future. Thank you from the Head On Radio Network.
Okay, listen up. If you're sick of hearing lies by right-wing corporate pukes who like to pretend they stand up for the working guy, then head over to the Cup of Joe radio show, where the truth will hit you so hard you'll have to wear your hard hat. You can listen to the screaming audio at
the Head On Radio Network.
Now get back to work.
Dad, let's sing that bedtime song.
Rock-a-bye baby by Newton's treetop. His first law of motion makes sure you won't stop. The same rules of physics apply to a ball, while gravity is a force that makes things fall.
By the sixth grade, many girls lose interest in math and science, but it's never too early to set your daughter's future in motion. For some simple ideas, go to girlsgotech.org.
A public service announcement brought to you by Girl Scouts of USA and Ad Council.
Hey, have you got a minute?
Huh?
I'm going to say a word. You tell me what comes to mind. Are you ready?
Okay.
Tchaikovsky.
Gesundheit. Okay, what's the word?
No, see, that is the word. What does Tchaikovsky make you think of?
I don't know. Allergy season?
Hey there, how you doing?
What's up?
Who's Martha Graham?
She invented the graham cracker.
No kidding.
Yeah, before her there was only soda crackers.
Hard to imagine. Hey, young lady.
Yeah?
Does the name Man Ray mean anything to you?
Duh. The man ray is a kind of poisonous jellyfish, and it lives in the Gulf of Mexico.
Aha. Uh-huh.
It's very deadly.
Are your kids as well-rounded as they could be? Kids who participate in the arts do better in school and in life. To learn more about the value of arts education, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. Because all kids should get to appreciate Tchaikovsky's music, Martha Graham's dance, and Man Ray's photography. Art. Ask for more. A public service message brought to you by Americans for the Arts and the Ad Council.
Crowded House. I swear they are New Zealand's Beatles, or were just one of the most beautiful bands. Tim Finn and your brother, you just amazing, amazing stuff. And if actually one of those bands from down this area that did really quite well in the United States, and If you don't own any crowded house, I would suggest that you go out and get an album called Wood Face. Now, that track is actually off the album named Crowded House, but Wood Face is just an impeccable piece of work, and there's a great song on there called Four Seasons in One Day that will just... There's certain people that know how to put lyric and melody and arrangement together and just create absolute magic. So, okay, I was talking about the violence that broke out on Saturday at the G20 summit. Now, why do I have to choose my words carefully? Well, because I necessarily don't condemn the people that got up to this. And I know there's a whole bunch of people that'll cringe. However, when the general public starts to feel that the police are out to protect the money from the people, and peaceful protest after peaceful protest after peaceful protest goes ignored, and the barricades around an event are pushed further and further out, you're going to end up people reaching the point of desperation. Now, when I was having a discussion with Anthony Lowenstein, you know, he was taking issue with me on this. And he says, well, don't you think that there are just always in these situations there are going to be a couple people that just are there to you know, create trouble? And I agree with him there. You know, in any group, you're going to end up having, you know, a few stirrers out there. But I seriously think that if the leaders of the world don't start listening to the people and attending to their concerns, you're going to end up with these situations where people feel like they have no other outlet than to lash out. I know that I'll probably catch some flack for this, but you have to look at, you know, some of the targets over the weekend. You know, police had to create human barricades around McDonald's and Nike in Melbourne. What is this saying? You know, I am not a violent person. I really am not. I cringe at violence. I consider myself a peaceful person. However, you know, there's a point where people just can't be peaceful anymore. And most major change in history has not been totally peaceful. And it's usually when the good people of the world get pushed too far. Oh, I'm having to tread lightly here. And before I forget, if you want to get on the program, you can dial in by dialing 1-877-443-2366. That's 1-877-4-HEAD-ON, or you can email me, John, J-O-N, at headonradionetwork.com. Now, our track of the day. Surprise, surprise, we're going to go back to a bit of the, I believe that this is still from the 70s era of the catalog, but one of my favorite bands of all time, Foreigner. I mean, these guys were massively influential on me as a young musician. I have always felt that these boys had such a sense for arrangement and vocal arrangements. I mean, just outstanding. Yes, Agnes, it's so urgent. And, you know, we all remember them doing, you know, songs about getting drunk and, you know, like Double Vision and, being legless and all these other things. However, they did have their moments of political statement and, you know, subtle political statement. But this one's not quite so subtle. The track today is a track called At War With The World. And I was going shopping, I think it was Friday, and I had loaded up the double disc best of into my little iRiver, and Jukebox Heroes, and I had totally forgotten about this track, and it just rang such a chord with me with what we were heading into with this summit, and kind of how I feel about my own place in the battle that lies ahead. Now, aside from the fact that it's just, you know, this era of music just makes me hunger for the great days of rock and roll radio, where I miss WNEW and especially like Scott Muni, you know, where rock and roll was king, and just everything was there. It wasn't just a top 20 playlist. It was, you know, just great music. And I don't know, like I said, this is just one of my favorite bands. Massive influence on me as a musician. And in fact, there was a rumor going around for a while that my good friend Dave Campbell was going to become the new singer for Foreigner. They ended up going with somebody else, but I'll tell you what, that would have been, you know, that would have been something else, just because of what I know of Dave, and he would have just sat right in Graham's slot beautifully. So, without further ado, here is Foreigner doing something slightly outside of what we remember them for. Here is At War with the World. Enjoy.
Attack, but still I seem to be picking up.
There's one place on the web you can go that's so topical you can apply it liberally. WD40.com. WDYAD40.com. Claude, Wally, and Dookie are there. They're working hard every day to give you updates in news, politics, and a great sense of humor. So stop on by and see the boys at WD40.com, a place where you can raise your voice and be heard. WD40.com, your one-stop shop for all things progressive.
Recently on the Guy James Show on the Head On Radio Network.
If you have tuned into this program by mistake right now, and you are a Republican, a right-wing Republican specifically, before this program is over, I do want to warn you, you're going to think that I'm the devil. You're going to think I've got horns and a red cape because I hate the Bush administration and everything they stand for. So be warned right away, okay? You're all warned right now that that's where we're coming from today.
Don't miss Guy James, weekdays, 3 to 5 Eastern Time, on the Head On Radio Network.
Did you know the University of Nebraska is a leader in the landscape of computer science and business education? Our J.D. Edwards Honors Program combines business strategy with next-generation computer software. That's how you teach leaders for the 21st century. I'd call that thinking outside the box. There is no place like Nebraska. The University of Nebraska, Lincoln.
You can see that in Alberta, diversity is very strong. You see people from different places, from different backgrounds. And we all have learned to live together. That's why Alberta is a great place to live.
We come from different places, and we have to accept each other because our backgrounds are different, our cultures are different, and we have to understand other people.
I think that our community, being as open as it is, just gives people a chance to really enjoy interaction between different cultures and really get to know each other without making any judgments.
Trabajando juntos podemos lograr la gran diferencia en la comunidad. That it means by working together we can make a big difference in our community.
To find out how you can make a difference, visit helpmakeadifference.com. This message is brought to you by the Government of Alberta and Global Television.
Whenever your phone could look you in the eye, you're just like an angel. Your skin makes me cry.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Foxed Up here on the Head On Radio Network. John Fox coming to you from Sydney. And as I mentioned at the top of the show, if you're in my part of the planet, it's today. In other parts of the planet, it's tomorrow, is Voltaire's birthday. And so another great quote. And you can find all these quotes at brainyquote.com. If God created us in his own image, we have more than reciprocated. Okay. More on what's been going on down here in Australia with the G20 and other things. Now, both U2 and Pearl Jam have been on tour here in Australia in the last week, and there was a concert being held put on by Tim Costello, the aforementioned brother of our lying sack of crap treasurer, put on a great concert for Making Poverty History. And while Pearl Jam was playing, Bono joined them on stage to do a great version of Rockin' in the Free World. Now, Bono has pretty much an open door policy with 10 Downing Street. George W. Bush has even met with him, and Tim Costello even refers to him as a global prophet on world poverty. You know, he's walking the talk. You know, I do know that he and you two personally put a lot of money into fighting world hunger and such things. So when Bono first landed, he put a challenge out to John Howard that he needs to match the global goal that Australia put 0.7% of GDP into international aid. And we're far off that mark at the moment. So, and Howard refused to meet with Bono, saying, "I don't take ultimatums from musicians," you see. And, well, at least Peter Costello said that he'd meet with him. And so they met, I believe it was yesterday. And also from, I love the headline of this article, "Costello's Rattle, Bono Hums After Poverty Talks." Treasurer Peter Costello accepted the challenge thrown down by his brother Tim, champion of the oppressed, and yesterday ventured where the prime minister dared not. He had an audience with poverty crusader and rock god Bono. And while Mr. Costello's musical taste slews towards the Van Morrison end of the playlist, he and the U2 frontman still managed to have a warm, hour-long discussion yesterday on poverty, aid, and corruption. The meeting was organized on Friday last week after Tim Costello, head of World Vision Australia, challenged his younger brother to meet the Irish rocker during an interview on Late Line. The men met yesterday at Treasury Place in the city. Other world leaders, including Tony Blair and George Bush, met Bono to discuss issues of global poverty last year. Pardon me, it's still early over here. Mouth isn't quite awake yet. But Prime Minister John Howard last week turned down an offer to meet Bono after the singer placed a condition on their talks that Mr. Howard was serious about rich countries directing 0.7% of their gross domestic product towards fighting poverty. Mr. Costello yesterday said he had decided to meet with Bono because he had asked and it was the polite thing to do. Bono emerged first from the meeting, saying Mr. Costello had been receptive to the views which made U2's lead singer a global ambassador in the fight against extreme poverty. And I love this quote from Bono. "I explained to him that this movement is right across the board. These people here in Australia are very proud of their country, and they want their country to be a leader, not a follower, on these issues. They feel the prosperity that they've been enjoying now brings some responsibilities. This wave is breaking, and it's going to happen." In turn, Mr. Costello praised the charming singer. "We talked of aid, the importance of aid effectiveness, the importance of ridding corruption, and it was very positive, constructive discussion," Mr. Costello said. Now, last night, on Late Line, which is an ABC program, Tim Costello talked about his brother a little bit, saying that he believes his brother would meet this goal if he were prime minister. And so this wasn't Late Line. This was on the 7:30 report. And the host of the 7:30 report asked, "So you're saying that it's Mr. Howard that's standing in his way?" And after a little, prodding, he said, "Well, that his brother is part of a government of a neoliberal," and you got to remember that liberal means something completely different over here, "government that just does not believe in aid. So they'll talk, but they won't act." I think the fact that Australia so far isn't meeting this goal of 0.7%, I mean, 0.7% of GDP. You know, do you really think that as a nation we're going to miss this? I don't believe so. And Bono's been very vocal and very well spoken, saying, you know, he has a lot of respect for John Howard because he's brought prosperity to this country like they've never seen before. And over 20 years of coming and touring here, he's been amazed at the growth here in Australia. And he's absolutely right. You know, with that prosperity comes responsibility. And Bono also made, when he was interviewed on Late Line last week, and I think this is a very, very good point, that fighting poverty is part of the war against terrorism, which I still don't think that you can fight a feeling, but that's just me. And, you know, if a portion of the world is starving due to the abuses, corruption, and robbing of indigenous peoples, you're gonna have strife. You just it's unavoidable. It just it really is. And what I think is going to be very, very interesting is next year's APEC summit, which was happening in Hanoi, is going to be in Sydney next year. Now, I predict that they'll hold this at the Opera House, which is an easy place to cordon off. And they've done it before for World Trade Organization talks and other things, where the Australian icon, the Opera House, was off limits to the Australian people. I have a real problem with this. I don't know how you all feel about it, but I just... There's an arrogance that flows that says, the people who represent the money are here. You're banned. You're forbidden to be here. Your public places are no longer public. You know, it's unfortunate that violence broke out over the weekend. But like I said, I'm not surprised in the least, you know. People are becoming very, very frustrated with the arrogance of their leaders, their blind ambition and ties with big business. It's, I consider it criminal, really. You know, to have someone like John Howard or Peter Costello, these guys constantly tout how they've brought prosperity and great economic growth to Australians as wages are dropping and the standard of living goes down and people are working more hours just to keep themselves afloat, that they see that they don't see the responsibility that they have to the rest of the world. And through and top of the agenda of the G20 summit was energy security, which meant making sure that the developing nations like China and India continue to be able to get really, really cheap dirty coal from Australia, so that Australia can continue to profiteer. Now, getting myself tied up in circles just because there's so many aspects to this, but it all really comes down to social responsibility and global responsibility. And Australia should be leading the way, as the United States should be leading the way. And Australia's completely dropped the ball at this point. So we're about to take our last break here for the Monday edition of Foxed Up. If you got one more segment to get in on the program, if you want to, dial 1-877-443-2366 or email me, John, J-O-N, at headonradionetwork.com. love to get your comments, your opinions. You know, we haven't covered anything green today, really, because, well, the summit was kind of at the top of the list, you know. And I find it interesting that we're having more and more of these international get-togethers happening in Australia and in Asia, where, you know, the Europeans and the Americans, it seems like they're trying to get it far away from the world population. I think it's isolating themselves for reasons that they know and we know. So we're going to take this break. We'll be back after this on the Head On Radio Network. We'll see you in a bit.
Harry Potter has given us all a unique glimpse at education the way it ought to be. Never once do Harry and his Hogwarts friends talk about skipping class, ducking tough instructors, waiving requirements, or shirking responsibilities. That perspective, be practical, get it the easiest, fastest, cheapest way you can, is what J.K. Rowling terms the Muggle approach to education. We're Concord University, and do we have a deal for you? At Concord, education's different than anywhere else around. There's a reason that Concord students get the best jobs, are sought out by the best medical, graduate, and law schools in the land. It's no wonder that Concord has been cited by U.S. News & World Report and by the Wall Street Journal. Where do I sign up? At Southern West Virginia's version of Track 9 and 3 Quarters, all you have to do is believe, and believe in yourself. Concord University, an education you can put to work. 1-888-384-5249.
The United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights meet your most complex needs by providing productivity, competitiveness, reliability, accuracy, safety, leadership, and professionalism. Millwrights from the United Brotherhood of Carpenters are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competence and training. The UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business anytime and every time. The Head On Radio Network is proud to be sponsored by these wonderful men and women who are building the American dream every day. Thank you from the Head On Radio Network.
One way employers honor their most cherished workers is by allowing them the pleasure of meeting a quota. Because management is so smart and in touch, the quota is always a realistic goal that can be easily met. Selling 80 sets of encyclopedias this week? No problem. The worker loves his quota because he knows it's merely a target and not a big axe constantly looming over his head that'll determine if he's still employed or living in a cardboard box next month. When you exceed your quota, you're sure to be given a huge bonus. Your boss would not just use this as an excuse to raise your quota in a devilish game of how much work can we pile on Sheldon before he starts babbling and stains his chair again. Yes, the rewards are great and easily obtainable for meeting your quota.
Alright, everybody, welcome back to the final segment of Foxed Up for a Monday afternoon, Tuesday morning, depending on where you reside, and we're going to go straight to the phones. Timber, how you doing? Welcome to Foxed Up.
Hey, John, how are you?
I'm doing good, man. What can I do for you today?
Just two quick points, and it's not as relevant tonight because you're not on this particular subject, but about the whole global warming thing and resource use, I was wondering, well, for one thing, I'd heard that GM is going to be building hybrid cars, but they're going to be doing it in China. So the whole argument that switching over to hybrids or hydrogen fuel cell vehicles is going to create jobs in the United States isn't a valid argument when companies are still going to outsource their labor to companies like countries like China. But the second
right.
is, I was wondering, is it really an American thing, or do you see it in Australia too, that big SUVs have become a status symbol, not just for the rich, but also you see people who you know are just barely getting by who will go way into Hawk to drive an Expedition or something like that around here. And I was just wondering if it was that way in Australia too. How do you think we get past that?
Oh, mate, it is so the case. And before Gail and I moved to the place we're living in now, we were living in a slightly kind of upper classish area. Not that we were, but and you know, every driveway had one or two SUVs or some large vehicle. And over the past year or so, as petrol prices have gone through the roof, there have been all kinds of kickbacks to try and sell these vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
And it is the same thing going on here. It's a status symbol issue. You know, I've confronted some people on this. You know, I've stopped people in a parking lot and just asked, you know, knocked on the window and asked, got a boat?
Yeah.
No. Run a farm? No. Then why do you have this vehicle? Well, I have three kids. Well, get a station wagon.
Right.
Get a station wagon. You know, get something that does not burn up the planet. And to me, as petrol prices have gone bloody through the roof, I'm giggling at them because they're the ones that are feeling the effects worse than anybody. And I don't know if you have this stuff going on in the States, but over here, the grocery stores have bought into the gas stations.
Yeah.
And so if you shop at their grocery store, you get like a 4 cent per liter discount or whatever on your petrol from their petrol station.
Yeah, I've seen that at a couple of places like Kroger and the Walmart supercenters have their own gas stations sometimes.
Yeah, and meanwhile, if you actually look at their pricing, their petrol prices are, you know, that 4 to 5 cents higher than every independent, you know, petrol station in the area.
Mm-hmm.
And almost every campaign in retail these days over here in Australia has some sort of free gas or petrol thing added to it as an enticement. And I find that just kind of a little bit creepy. You know, it's the consumerism to feed the consumerism, to feed the waste, to feed, you know, it's this just never-ending circle of finding a way to keep these vehicles on the road. And I used to take issue with a friend of mine whose son, you know, has, you know, like five kids, which I think in this day and age is completely irresponsible because it's overpopulation that is actually driving virtually all these problems. And, you know, they have these massive, massive vehicles.
Right.
And all I consider them are four-wheeled penis extensions.
Yeah, except the problem with that here is that I've noticed that more Hummer H2s that I see on the road here in North Carolina are actually driven by women. So that's a whole other psychology going on there. I don't have to explain it. It's a lot easier to explain it than the guys because we're raised to believe that you impress women with the vehicle you drive, but you have to wonder what's going on in the minds of the women who have now adopted the same attitude.
I think we need to fight that psychology and make it sexy and manly to be, you know, driving a hybrid, to be commuting via Vespa, you know, and actually having some responsibility to the planet that gives us all life. I mean, I find this all so short-sighted. And yes, Australia is little America. No matter how much they want to deny it, we are little America. You know, we have Domino's, we have, you know, we and it's all just branding.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I find that aspect of Australia a bit sad, because they have such personality, you know, and such a great history of their own. You know, every history is flawed, but you know, why not be your own nation?
Sure.
I don't understand the follow along attitude, but then again, you know, Howard and Blair as well are both just, you know, little American cheerleaders, you know, rah 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 rah, and I really can't stand it.
I have friends who are moving to New Zealand at the end of the year. Can they expect any better from the government over there?
Oh yes, New Zealand is a completely different kettle of fish, mate. You know, you have a female prime minister who took over from a previous female prime minister. They basically have virtually no armed forces because they don't threaten anybody.
Mm-hmm.
They have a very high quality of life. It is one of the most undisturbed nations ecologically on the planet. It's a place that I've been dying to go to since I've been here. And I'll tell you, you know, foregoing the accent, which is really, really too easy to make fun of,
mm-hmm.
the Kiwis got to be some of the coolest people I have ever known. And the colonial population and the indigenous population have a lot more harmony going on than the Australians do with the Aboriginals. You know, yeah, absolutely. Hey, man, I'm gonna have to end it there so I can get the credits in before we go out. But man, thanks for ringing in, and it was a very, very good, very, very good point and observation, because this, you know, we got to stop having cars be a status symbol, and change it that the status symbol is being green as opposed to being mean, I guess.
Yeah, it's gonna be tricky, but I agree. Take care, John.
Right on, man. Thank you so much. Folks, thanks for being with me today. You might be hearing a little bit more of me shortly here in a little while. We'll see what goes on. But before we get out of here, today's program was produced by the wonderful Agnes, who's feeling a tad bit better, but not 100% yet. And as usual, everything on the Head On Radio Network is brought to you by the Mid-Atlantic Council of Carpenters. Our streaming and archives by Ben Birch at the White Rose Society. Go there, drop him a buck, because he never sends a bill. You got to do the right thing. And thank you to Gene and Susan, our news ninjas, for their research and their blogging. We love you guys. You guys rock. Peter Godbold at Godbold Computers. Scott Berry at B1 Ladder Productions. Thank you for the music. And Lottie, ELO, Peter, all Freckles in the chat room. You guys are all part of this great family that we just continue to push on with. So, folks, you might hear me in a few minutes. I don't know. I need to have a quick production meeting during the news. And we will we'll see you tomorrow here on Foxed Up on the Head On Radio Network. It's been lovely to be with you. Catch you tomorrow. Be good, be green.
This is a family crowd. Are we sure of that?
An extended family crowd.
Yeah. You know, that's extended all the time.
We learned this little ditty from her, and we hope you enjoy it.
And if you know it, sing along.
Yes, we'd love to have you join us if you remember it. Thank you.
Baby, start me up.
Start me up.
Baby, start me up. We'll never stop. Baby, start me up.
Start me up.
Baby, start me up. We'll never stop. I've been running hard.
Running hard.
But you got me ticking on the overtime. Baby, start me up.
Start me up.
Baby, start me up. We'll never stop. You make a grown man cry.
Cry.
You make a grown man cry.
Cry.
You make a grown man cry.
Cry.
The oil, the gasoline, I ride smooth, she's a clean machine. Can I start it up?
Start it up.
I'm starting to get it all you got. I can't compete.
Can't compete.
With the rising and the heat. Either rough it up.
Rough it up.
Hey, if you
like
it, take
a slide up. American Broadcasting. Stay tuned for quality news.
This is the Quality News Network. The Washington Post reports the Pentagon has laid out three options for the war in Iraq following a secret review commissioned by the Joint Chiefs of Staff. The first option is to put more troops into Iraq. The second is to reduce the size of the U.S. force but stay longer in Iraq. And the third is to pull out of the country entirely. President Bush said today he hasn't decided whether he will send more troops to Iraq or reduce the size of the force. He wrapped up his week-long trip to Asia with a six-hour stop in Indonesia, where he was greeted by thousands of protesters. Former Secretary of State Henry Kissinger said in a British television interview Sunday that military victory in the war in Iraq is no longer possible. He also said the United States must enter into talks with Iraq's neighbors, including Iran. The Associated Press reports that Iran has invited the Iraqi and Syrian presidents for a weekend summit next week. They're expected to discuss how to stop the spiraling sectarian violence in Iraq. Syria's foreign minister was in Iraq this weekend for talks. It's the first high-level diplomatic contact between the two countries in nearly a quarter century. In Iraq, violence has claimed the lives of 48 Iraqis today. The Iraqi death toll so far in November is at least 1,370, according to the Associated Press count, making it the deadliest month since the tracking began. Today, Democratic Representative Charles Rangel, the incoming chairman of the House Ways and Means Committee, has brought up the idea of reinstating the military draft. Steny Hoyer, who will be the next majority leader in January, said, quote, "We did not include that," end quote, in next year's legislative plans. Numerous polls have found that most Americans, about 7 in 10, oppose bringing back the draft. A school bus accident in Huntsville, Alabama today has killed at least three teenage girls. 30 students were injured.